Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig, and today we will be studying Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Gimel, Chapter 13. To recap, Perek Yud Bet, Chapter 12, that we studied last time. Shmuel is very upset and sees the request for a king as a personal rejection, a rejection of his sons, and a rejection of Hashem. As a conclusion and valedictory speech to the joyous recrowning celebration, Shmuel harshly rebukes the nation and defends his reputation as an honorable, just, and successful leader. He uses the same language that Moshe Rabbeinu used defending himself against the criticisms of Korach and Datan v'Aviram. Shmuel then highlights all the wondrous miracles that Hashem wrought for Bnei Israel and the great leaders he sent to save them. And how do Bnei Israel always respond? They sin and reject Hashem. Here too, Shmuel emphasizes, is the same pattern. Asking for a king is in essence rejecting Hashem all over again. Alas, Bnei Israel requested a king, Hashem relented, and now they are stuck with their king. However, despite Bnei Israel's lack of loyalty to Hashem and Shmuel, if they follow Hashem and their king, will follow Hashem, they will succeed, because Hashem will never abandon his chosen nation. Shmuel summons a thunderstorm in the summer during harvest time. That is a truly devastating event. In Israel, heavy rain in the summer destroys the wheat harvest. It's a curse and not a blessing, a klala and not a bracha. Everyone understands the message and are fearful that Hashem is going to smite them dead because they asked for a king. So Shmuel responds, "It's true you did a terrible thing to ask for a king, and you're rejecting me and God, but I will always pray for you and guide you and teach you." Shmuel is letting them know that despite the fact that they are enamored with their new king and think he can solve all their problems, they need him now more than ever. And he is as powerful as he ever was. Will Shaul be able to sustain that positive attitude and military prowess and even-keel nature and fearless leadership beyond his encounter with Nachash and the second crowning? Or will this rebuke by Shmuel sow seeds of doubt in Shaul's newfound self-confidence? Let's see Shaul's handling of his next crisis, a battle with the Plishtim, with the Philistines, in our Perek Yud Gimel, chapter 13. Now we're doing chapter 13. It is very early on in Shaul's kingship, and Shaul recruits a standing army of 3,000 men. 2,000 are stationed with Shaul and 1,000 are with Yonatan, Shaul's son. This is Yonatan's introduction story. We discussed in Perek Chet in chapter 8 that introduction stories speak volumes about the individual who is being introduced. It will also contrast Yonatan, the son, with Shaul, the father. But it does not relate to us until Pasuk Tet Zayin, verse 16, that Yonatan is actually Shaul's son. In our Perek, Yonatan goes on the offensive and attacks the Plishtim commander. Shaul announces the attack to the nation, and everyone assumes it was Shaul's assault. The psukim imply that Yonatan did this of his own accord and was not instructed by Shaul. So Yonatan is doing it by himself. Malbim advocates this view, that Yonatan did this of his own accord. The consequences are devastating. So was this an act of bravery and heroism or foolishness? Because it galvanizes the Plishtim, the Philistines, to fight against Bnei Israel. Bnei Israel convene at Gilgal, and the Plishtim respond with 30,000 chariots and 6,000 cavalry and foot soldiers as numerous as the sand. When Bnei Israel see this military assemblage, they hide in caves and wells and retreat to the east bank of the Jordan River. Shaul does not begin the battle versus the Plishtim because he is waiting for Shmuel to come and sacrifice. As we saw in Perek Yud, chapter 10, Pasuk Chet, verse 8, that part of Shaul's initiation as king was telling Shaul that he had to wait to sacrifice until Shmuel comes. V'yaradeta lefanaya Gilgal, v'hinei anochi yorede lecha la'alot olot lizboch zivchei shlamim, shiv'at yamim tochel ad bo'i elecha, v'odati lecha at asher ta'aseh. We read that you go down to Gilgal, and you wait to sacrifice until I come. You have to wait for me 7 days, and then I'll tell you what to do next. Shaul waited the 7 days, and the people were scattering. Shaul is worried. He's alone. Very few people are left. So he requests that they bring him the animals for sacrifice. The shlamim and the ola. The burnt offering as well. At the moment Shmuel arrives, a similar vibe to Bnei Israel waiting the 40 days and the worship of the Egel, the golden calf. And then, of course, Moshe arrives. So this is similar to what happens here. So let's read the psukim, Yud to Yudalad, 10 to 14. When he's finished bringing up the Ola, Shmuel comes, and then Shaul comes out to greet him, to give him a blessing. And Shmuel says, Me'asita, what'd you do? Vayomer Shaul, ki ra'iti ki nafatza ame'alai, va'ata lo bata lamo'ed hayamim, uplishtim ne'esafim michmash. But Shmuel said, what have you done? And Shaul replied, I saw the people leaving me and scattering, and you did not come for the appointed time. And the plishtim are gathering. So I said to myself, Yerdu plishtim elaya gilgal upnei Hashem lochiliti va'etapak va'aleola. So I thought to myself, oi, the plishtim are going to march down against me at Gilgal before I bring a korban to Hashem. So I decided, oh, I'm going to bring up the korban. I'm going to bring up the sacrifice. Vayomer Shmuel al Shaul. So Shmuel says to Shaul, and he rebukes him. Niskalta, you acted foolishly. Lo shamarta et mitzvat Hashem elokecha asher tzivcha. You did not keep the commandment of Hashem. Ki ata hechin Hashem et mamlachtecha el Yisrael ad olam. If you didn't do this sin, then Hashem would have made you king forever on Bnei Israel. But now, Mamlachtecha lo takum, your kingship will not be established. Bikesh Hashem lo ish kilvavo, Hashem is seeking out someone else according to Hashem's heart. Vaitzaveu Hashem lenagid alamo, and Hashem is going to command him to be the leader of Am Yisrael. Ki lo shamarta et asher tzivcha Hashem, because you did not keep what Hashem has commanded you. So we see very strongly here, not keeping the command of Hashem, not keeping the command of Hashem, is a leitmotif. We see that mentioned over and over and over again. The words, listening to Hashem, listening to Hashem, listening to Hashem's commandments. So let's recap this little piece. Shaul comes out to greet Shmuel, and when Shmuel asks the famous question, what did you do? Like Hashem to Adam, like Hashem to Cain, like Moshe to Aaron when he came down after the Egel, the golden calf. Shaul has an opportunity to repent, to reflect, to apologize. But instead he blames the cowardice of the nation and the tardiness of Shmuel. You didn't come on time. And the overwhelming number of plishtim. Of course he had to bring up the korban. Of course he had to bring up the sacrifice. And he even explains to Shmuel that of course he couldn't go to battle without bringing an ola, without bringing a sacrifice to Hashem. But Shmuel responds very sharply. He doesn't see this as a good answer. He says, but you failed to keep God's command. And as a result, you're losing the kingship and it'll pass to someone else. And if not for this, maybe you would have been king forever. What was so terrible about this transgression? He is sacrificing this offering to Hashem, not to another deity. He was in a tight spot. We understand his rationale. So why is this act so egregious that he could lose the monarchy? Rashi explains that it states very explicitly in the Torah in Devarim that a king must listen to the religious leaders of his generation. Shmuel told him explicitly to wait for him. Shmuel is his mentor. They are a team. And Shaul's acting as if he doesn't need Shmuel's guidance. And it seems like a lack of faith in Shmuel and a breach of contract. This is a terrible moment for Shaul. He's confronted with a massive army. He just received a harsh rebuke from Shmuel, and only 600 soldiers are left with him. The Plishtim, the Philistines, are advancing, and the Israelites don't have weapons because the Plishtim do not let them have blacksmiths, and they always have to go to the Philistine blacksmiths to sharpen their iron farming tools and their weapons. And on this day of battle, only Shaul and his son Yonatan have a sword or a spear. The perek begins with Yonatan acting on his own and not identified as Shaul's son. The perek proceeds with many familial and connecting references in describing Shaul and Yonatan. They are father and son, and they are in the same position. They are generals with only 600 soldiers, and they too are the only ones who possess weapons. Will they defeat the Plishtim, who are numbered in the tens of thousands with ample weapons? They are a daunting enemy right now. Will Yonatan and Shaul work together? Will Shmuel's chastisement influence Shaul's actions in this war? Will Yonatan or Shaul be the hero of this battle? Will Shaul succeed in this second pivotal battle? To sum up our perek, it is very early on in Shaul's kingship, and Shaul recruits a standing army of 3,000 men. 2,000 are stationed with Shaul, and 1,000 are with Yonatan. Yonatan goes on the offensive and attacks the Plishtim commissioner. Shaul announces the attack to the nation, and everyone thinks it was Shaul's assault. And the psukim implied that Yonatan did this of his own accord and was not instructed by Shaul. When Bnei Israel convene at Gilgal, the Plishtim respond with 30,000 chariots, 6,000 cavalry, and foot soldiers as numerous as the sand on the beach. When Bnei Israel see this military assemblage, they hide in caves, wells, and retreat, and run away, even to the east bank of the Jordan River. But Shaul cannot begin the battle against Plishtim because he's waiting for Shmuel to come to bring the sacrifice. And Shaul waited for these 7 days, but everyone's scattering. So Shaul decides, I'm going to bring up the sacrifice. And the moment he brings up the sacrifice, Shmuel comes. And Shaul comes out to greet him. And then Shmuel said, what did you do? Shaul here had the opportunity to say, oh, I made a mistake. Oh, I apologize. But instead, he blames the cowardice of the nation and the tardiness of Shmuel and the overwhelming numbers of the Plishtim. And of course, he can't go to battle without bringing a sacrifice. So Shmuel responds harshly and says he failed. He did not keep Hashem's command, and as a result, he lost the kingship. The Plishtim are advancing, and Bnei Israel don't have weapons because the Plishtim do not let them have blacksmiths. So they have to go to the Plishtim to sharpen anything they have. And on this day, only Shaul and Yonatan have a sword or a spear because the Plishtim don't want them to have it. Will Yonatan and Shaul work together? Will Shmuel's chastisement influence Shaul's actions? Will Yonatan or Shaul be the hero of this battle? Let's see how this battle unfolds in our next Sheur, in the next Perek, Perek Yud Dalet, chapter 14. Thank you for studying together, L'Ilui Nishmat Frida, Bat Moshe Eliyahu.